disciples in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of Abba God, and of the only begotten, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always, even until the end of the world. These are words from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
This is rather surreal to me. Oh, I just noticed, Judy, do you have a birthday today? A big birthday today? Yes, happy birthday. It just occurred to me because it's the last day of May. I can't believe it. It's surreal. Tomorrow June begins. Where did this year go? Really? I'd written, it's the month when we see the promise of summer. But we do. The rain is needed, of course. The trees are in full leaf, which I love seeing the greens. And the flowers are in bloom. Most of us have planted our gardens or our planters, whatever we're going to plant. Maybe this is not true. We've put away heavy jackets and boots. For the last 3 days, we've just really enjoyed the sunshine that warms our bodies and souls. And June is a good month to look forward to. Of course, there is another event coming up, maybe the elephant in the room, perhaps. My impending departure from Okotoks to Winton, and a change in leadership is coming up for sure. In just a few months, our paths will diverge. And we will be taking different directions. Many of you perhaps won't be around a lot in July. Some have told me that. So we're maybe have only a few Sundays left. And maybe some of us are a little sad. Maybe not all of us. Maybe there are a few who can't wait. I mean, that's always a reality in a congregation. In fact, the reality is some have left while I've been here and may come back, you know, with a new minister. That happens. But like any separation or loss, there will be and there is an anticipatory grief which we need to name and process if we are to part well. We will be talking about grief at some point in time, but today I want to focus on hope and anticipation and possibility. There is going to be, the Holy Spirit's at work now, the wind's blowing. There will be a transition phase for all of us, of course, you and myself as well. We will be trying to figure out what's next. What will the future bring? What are we going to become? Transition of any nature, often of this kind of thing anyway, brings a mixture of gratitude for the past, some anxiety about the future, and a sense of this messy middle ground where we don't know what to expect. It's okay that it's messy. That's how it works. It's messy for me too. Somebody said to me at DeWinton today, they just realized, you're saying goodbye to one person, I'm saying goodbye to so many, and it's hard. It's often uncomfortable as we wait to realize a future not yet known for us while we grieve what we knew, what was comfortable, and the relationships that have been developed over 19 years. People keep asking me what I'm going to do when I retire. And recently, my answer has been, I'm going to be the chaplain for Cirque du Soleil. Oh, you don't know how much delight I've gotten out of that one. The looks on some people's faces when I say that, their mouths just drop open. It's great fun. But I'm not especially fond of the question because I'm not really sure what the next year looks like, or the years after that. I've never been there before. I'm sure I will settle in eventually to something, to find something meaningful, something that gives me pleasure, I will build other relationships. I just don't know what it is yet. And I expect it to take a while to figure out. I have to create something new that I have never experienced before in my life, unlimited expanse of time to choose what I want to do. And it's the same for this community. You will find your way into something new and exciting. It'll just take a while. Last week I said we can't rush the Holy Spirit. Don't rush the Holy Spirit. We won't build new relationships overnight. Jesus summoned the disciples to the mountain to meet with him. And they were unsure of what to expect, what was coming next. They were in the ultimate transition phase. Jesus' earthly ministry had been completed, and he was physically leaving them. The future was entirely unwritten. Jesus had left them no writings, no clear instructions, no roadmap, or even an idea of what to expect, except for the words we found in Scripture today. Go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to do what I have taught you. That's it. Not too clear. It's the only instructions they have. How they did what he asked them to do was entirely up to them. And how you move into the future is entirely up to you. The disciples are standing there on a windy mountain peak, feeling a little lost, undoubtedly frightened, and profoundly untethered. How are they going to do this without Jesus' direction, without his leadership? For sure, he said, I'm going to leave something for you. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. But that's just not the same as a leader with skin on. We can follow, literally follow a leader with skin on. What they tell us is quite direct. There's a safety in that. Certainty. We're never just quite as sure with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will lead us or what the Holy Spirit will do. They were untethered. They didn't know what was coming. Jesus was handing the work over to them, and he trusted them to figure it out. They did. You will. I will. We'll lean into our faith and trust. When the disciples arrived on the mountain, the passage says that when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Doubt is fine. Doubt is okay. In many religious traditions, doubt is treated as a lack of faith or a moral failure. I want to tell you today, it is not. Doubt is good. If we are really honest about life, our own lives, and faith, and reality of things that are going on, we are going to doubt sometimes. It's natural. It is a vital sign of a living, real, authentic faith. To doubt, to question, to wonder. We cannot grow without it. It's normal for a congregation facing a change in leadership to experience this simultaneous worship where the disciples fell at Jesus' feet and doubt. Both exist. You can love your community and celebrate together in worship, in celebration, while simultaneously wondering, doubting, what are we going to become? Who will be our next minister? What will we do without that person? Will our next chapter be as good? It will be just as good, but different. Just as it was for Jesus' followers in the church. Trust, trust. It won't be the same. It can't be the same, nor does it need to be. Trust. With different leadership comes new energy, new ideas, new challenges, new passions, new ministries. We adapt, get excited about possibilities, try new things with a new person, fail sometimes, and then try something new. It's really not good for an organization to get stuck in doing things the same way with the same leaders. As the world changes, the church has to change too. A new minister will bring new ideas, a different energy. It will be strange. You might not even like them at first, but we all adapt. Humans are really good at adapting. Jesus didn't wait for his disciples to resolve their doubts before he spoke to them. He commissions them to their work in their state of mixed emotions, in their doubt and praise. The church's ministry does not pause until everyone feels perfectly secure and ready. Nothing would ever change if we had to wait for everybody to feel really safe and secure. And it needs to change. A change in ministers is an opportunity to ask yourselves, what are we called to next? What are we called to learn next? What can this new person teach us? Because the reality is the ministry belongs to the congregation, not the person in the pulpit. The community is the primary keeper of the circle of learning and worship and care for the world, just as the disciples were the primary keepers of the message and the teaching of Jesus. Jesus isn't leaving them empty-handed, though. He is entrusting them with the legacy of what they built together. I hope that what we have built these last 19 years is not lost, but built upon. Just as I came in after Doug, and people were not happy when Doug left, let me tell you. Just as I came in after Doug and built on what he had done, the church has been here for over 100 years and has built upon each successive leader. It will continue to do so. Ministers come and go, but the relational presence of the divine remains woven into the fabric of this congregation. We will all of us, continue to be faithful disciples of Christ, not of a particular minister. Like I said, you may not like the new minister at first, or you may love them at first sight. They are not filling anybody's shoes. They will be their own person, determined to love them. That's what you're good at. Welcome them. Make them feel at home, and don't compare them to anybody else. They will be their own person. They won't do things the way I do them, nor should they, because they won't even know how I do things. That's as it should be. Determined to love them as you have loved and cared for me. That's important. The Greek root for disciple, matheteo, means to pull close as learner. Jesus is not commanding the creation of a religious empire, big buildings, big programs, whatever. He is inviting people into a lifelong evolving practice of love and justice and compassion. That's what we're about. In the United Church of Canada, we affirm the priesthood of all believers. You are all ministers. A minister's retirement is a powerful reminder that the ministry doesn't belong to the minister, it belongs to the congregation. The retiring minister might have had a role as perhaps a shepherd in the community, but the community is the body that feeds the hungry, works for justice, and offers radical welcome. My greatest achievements here are not the sermons preached or the Bible studies or the courses taught or the administrative tasks performed, but hopefully the capacity built within each of you to keep learning and growing and loving. It's my greatest desire that this will continue after I'm gone. Just as I have had a small part in teaching and forming your spiritual life, it has been mutual. You have formed me. And it'll be the same for a new minister. You have things to teach them as well. Remember this, that when they arrive, they are going to be anxious, uncomfortable, unsure. Don't let anybody's external confidence fool you. Somebody gave me an analogy today. It's like going into school, into a new classroom with a new teacher, and you don't know what to expect, and they don't know what to expect, and you figure it out. And by the end of the year, you're in love with your teacher, and they're in love with you. Just be aware that there is anxious coming in here as you will be meeting them. It's okay to be unsure, to doubt. The next chapter won't feel the same, and that's by design. God's spirit evolves. Celebrate the gifts that we've shared together while holding space for the possibility of whatever comes next. The work of reconciliation, mission, feeding the hungry, and the affirming ministry doesn't take a pause because leadership changes. The mandate from the mountain that Jesus gave is a reminder that the work of the gospel lives in the people, not in the office of the minister. Jesus closes the Great Commission with, "I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the ultimate reassurance of a searching church. The Holy Spirit is not leaving with me, nor is she waiting to arrive in the next minister. The Holy Spirit is already present in you, in the pews, the committees, the community outreach, each of you, and that liminal space of transition, the Holy Spirit is still there at work. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate constant. Ministers change, but the foundational love that holds this community together is unshakable. Transition is not an interruption in the church's life. It is the church's life. We are constantly in transition. Growth requires movement. In Matthew 28, the disciples are experiencing a massive paradigm shift. The era of following a single visible leader is over for them. They are forced out of being a passive follower mindset and into an active, co-creative role with the Holy Spirit in what's going on in the church and in the world. A healthy congregation doesn't need unanimous certainty to move forward. You don't need to be certain. Doubt and hesitation are signs of a very thoughtful community, always asking questions, always wondering. Jesus commissions the disciples while they are still processing the change, proving that perfection is not a prerequisite for progress. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will always be present, Jesus says. The always means that God's already present in the next chapter. I have to trust this. You have to trust this. The transition is simply the bridge that the congregation walks across to meet the future. The divine presence is an undercurrent that connects the past leadership, the current reality, and the future pastoral relationships. So the view from the mountain is uncertain right now, just as it was for the first disciples. We need to hold this space open for something new and exciting to reveal itself. Our paths are going to diverge soon. Just know that we are walking with the same spirit under the same big sky, and all will be well. Let's take a moment for reflection.